You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You guys hear Caitlin Clark is coming to town?
Yes. What a win for KC.
What for? What's she doing here?
Well, I'll tell you
that
just a second.
That was so horribly punny. Are you kidding me? Terrible jokes was last segment.
Tell us again, Scott, about this win for KC.
For win KC.
Basketball star Caitlin Clark will make a visit to Kansas City in February to celebrate the accomplishments of women and girls in sports. Amid a women's sports boost in Kansas City, the Women's Intersport Network for Kansas City, or WIN4KC, announced today that Clark will be honored as the featured speaker at the 2025 Women's Sports Awards presented by Burns and McDonald.
That is a win.
Cannot wait!
Is it a win? Or a win-win
for
KC.
It's a win-win-win.
Well, you don't just want to win or win-win, because if you just win or win-win, you're just winning or win-win.
I'm telling you, that event, I'm pretty sure it always sells out. This one will definitely sell out. Has had some incredible speakers over the years. This one might take the cake. This is
a huge get. By the way, can I just address a little bit of in-office grievance?
Oh. Is it the fish that you put in the microwave today?
Is that what that was?
Clearing out the entire
third
floor.
Oh, Dan, could you smell it when you came in?
You could still smell it when you got here?
I smelled it in the parking lot.
No, shut up.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, all those fumes get vented out eventually.
No, go ahead. I think we should air all of our grievances.
Well,
the air's too thick.
Do you have a grievance?
No.
Oh. Well, I just went to...
It's just Tuesday, you know.
I know.
Okay.
This can't wait till Friday. I just went to the restroom during the 4 o'clock news. So, Dan, forgive me. I missed a couple of minutes.
That's okay.
There are now no fewer than 4. And I love Jesus. But there are no fewer than 4 Christmas trees that have been put up in this office today.
That's your grievance? Do you know how hard the staff were, and by staff, I mean one phenomenal human being, works to put all of those together?
Hartzell
so
Gray
it's
did
a
it
little
today.
More festive for the rest of us.
Why do you hate joy?
I don't. I love joy. I love Jesus. I love Christmas.
And cod.
And I like cod a lot. And I had it for lunch today here at the office.
I have a grievance, too.
Stand by.
Do you know what Sam had for lunch? A door banana.
I don't think Christmas decorations should go up
until Thanksgiving.
Until after Thanksgiving is over.
Mm-hmm.
We put our tree up on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it comes down before January 1st. You don't mix your holidays.
I love decorating in the office, you know, but where are the gourds and the cornucopias and the little paper turkeys that you hang up?
We didn't have time for that.
We don't have that.
Do you know what I did? I went to Lowe's and spent $12 on a small evergreen plant. It's about 16 inches in height.
Is it real or fake?
It's real. I stuck it in a red bucket and put it on my center island in my kitchen.
Nice.
And that will be the extent of my decorating this year. I'm over the moon.
Why do you hate joy?
I don't. I just, you know...
Is it kind of like that Charlie Brown Christmas tree
it's
that's
beautiful.
Like leaning
and
over?
And now I can blame spatial issues. I mean, I just don't have the room for a gigantic tree. Not doing it.
Did you have a tree when you lived
in
Leawood?
Yes, every year.
Real?
Yes. And you know, I never loved especially once the kids were all off to college, the chore of dragging all of that stuff out to put it all back into storage for you. It's not my favorite thing to do.
Those pine needles are like glitter.
Yes.
And Sam, we'll get to your grievance here in just a minute. We have an artificial tree.
Okay.
And I was down in the storage room in the basement today. We never take it apart.
Oh.
I keep it intact. It's not huge. It's not small.
Do you cover it with like a trash bag or something?
No.
Okay. You just drag it up, drag it back down.
It's ready to go.
Collecting dust all year long.
Yeah.
Smart.
Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
What's your grievance, Sam?
Well, so when I walked into work today, there weren't any Christmas trees up yet because they were put up in the last 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What there was a green hue covering the entire newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
Did it smell like cod?
I don't know what it smelled like. I thought that I was standing in the middle of Pike's Place in Seattle. The stench was so rank that my eyes started watering.
I have apologized for this 5 times today.
Already. And I said to Scott, good God, what are you eating? And then I proceeded to walk out of the newsroom because I had some business to do in another room, and I forgot that it smelled so bad, and when I walked back in, I was smacked in the face a second time.
Might as well have been lutefisk.
You've used 3 words now that in the last few minutes that I don't know what you're... What is...
Lutefisk? That's the rotten fish that they like to eat up in Iceland.
Gross. And
Scandinavia.
Dan, of all of the obscure words you have dumped on us over the years, that one may take the cake.
Luta, L-U-T-A?
Common spelling.
I think it's L-U-T-E-F-I-S-K, I think.
Oh, lutefisk.
Yeah. Yeah. Lutefisk.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Said no one ever.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah.
No. I thought you said lutefish.
Not going to look that up.
I think they bury it and let it rot, so, and then they pull it up and then they eat it.
Sam, I will never bring cod.
Or scallops.
Oh, that's the worst.
What?
Oh, it's disgusting. What's the other thing, be honest? In an office setting, I've got to throw popcorn on there because y'all don't know how to pop popcorn. It's either not popped or the entire building is on fire and it smells like... Not food.
Burnt
popcorn does not smell like food. It smells like jet fuel and hair.
I thought I had gotten to work early enough that I could eat my lunch at my desk.
You didn't.
And offend no one.
You offended someone. Multiple people.
I was a bit caught off guard by how many people came over and said, are you eating fish or something? I'm like, yeah, I'm eating cod.
Dude, it was the whole newsroom. The second I opened the door, and that's a good, 35-foot, 40-foot walk from the door to where you were sitting eating your cod. The second I opened the door, it smacked me in the face.
I mean, how long have you been in the workforce?
There's just certain things you don't do.
30-plus years.
Yeah.
I've been here for 28.
It's one of the rules.
No fish.
Don't bring fish to work anymore.
The workplace.
Well, if the office smelled like that, what did my house smell like?
Yes.
All right. I will. I promise you, I will never bring fish to work again.
Thank you.
But I will bring the fettuccine Alfredo with scallops into work.
That's fine.
Fantastic. Please.
I mean, if you want to bring some, like, I don't know, fried catfish, that'd be okay.
Bottom feeders?
I think generally we should stay away from reheating fish in the workplace. And that's for everybody listening, not just here.
Yeah.
Well, T's been told she can't bring fish to her work either.
Leave that
apparently
stuff at home.
Stunk that place up too.
What kind of cod are you guys buying?
I do not know.
I got it from Hy-Vee 2 nights ago. It's very fresh.
I got it from Hy-Vee 3 months ago.
I don't know why it was green.
Still swimming.
913-586-7798 here on KMBZ. We got cold overnights in the forecast this week, and winter hasn't even started. It's only going to get colder. You know how cold it can get here. And every year, we raise money and buy new coats for children in Kansas City who, for whatever reason, don't have a warm coat to wear to school or sit at the bus stop waiting to go to school. Coats for Kids 2024, we're hoping to raise $60,000 this year to buy somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 new coats. And through your generosity and this program, the program being Coats for Kids, of course, we hand out coats free of charge to students in Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center School Districts. If you can help us this year, we would more than appreciate it. Just go to kmbz.com, click on the Coats for Kids tab, and that'll take you to a site that's safe and secure. We've been using it for years. Or you can just text in the word KMBZ Coats, one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. And a huge special thanks go to our partners at Operation Warm and our sponsor, Pinnacle Bank, for all of their support. Benjamin in South Kansas City. Benjamin, hello.
Hey, so lutefisk. Considering the Scandinavians didn't have refrigeration and they had to keep their food stored,
sure.
In the summer they would get the fish or the cod, whatever it would be. They would dehydrate it, then they would bury it underground, put lye on top of it to keep the animals away.
Oh,
and then to make it edible again, they would basically boil it, put fresh water into. So think of gelatinous jello fish.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, and I was forced to eat it every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, and I despise it.
Why were you forced to eat it?
Growing up in a Norwegian heritage, it was just kind of a given. That was the meal that they would serve.
Oh, Benjamin, bless your heart.
I still have an 80-year-old aunt who tries to send me it every year.
Oh, please don't. And I don't feel like that's something that should be safely
shipped
from any of our federal partners, the postal system.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk to the U.S. Postal Service about that. But, it's nasty.
Okay, Benjamin, thank you for the call. Speaking of being sick, this is kind of just tees this right up. Two off-campus high school events in Missouri have left nearly 70 people sick with E. coli, and several of them have been hospitalized. Mm. This is out of Fenton, Missouri. Nearly 70 high school students and parents in Missouri were sickened by E. coli following two separate school-related events. According to the St. Louis County Department of Public Health, the illnesses stem from two off-campus events involving students at one high school near St. Louis. One of the events was an end-of-season banquet. They do not state what the second event was, but one was like an end-of-year, you know, let's recognize the seniors and all of that, and it was banned. It was the high school band. Mm-hmm. The health department is now investigating. They have confirmed the school itself is not the source. Those school officials are deep cleaning the campus. Officials say the banquet was hosted by a certain catering group. They don't yet know what kind of food was contaminated, and the business is cooperating. Michelle Dubrulé says her 16-year-old son started having
diarrhea,
toilet issues on Tuesday. She ended up taking him to the ER after an alarming change in
his
things going
movements.
On. And he is not the only one that ended up in the ER because of this banned banquet.
Did he not get off the toilet?
Stop it.
No, he couldn't.
The health department says 69 students and parents were sickened between two separate events.
Kinda
and
like
the number is rising. The number is rising. Amanda Brazowski, the agency's senior epidemiologist, is leading the investigation to find the source.
Seriously, Sam?
She says there are a couple of strains that make people sick, and this particular strain is one that can make people very sick.
Clearly. They were straining.
Poor band kids.
They are currently disinfecting all bathrooms and doorknobs at the high school in question.
Is it contagious?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, if you get the particles.
Yeah.
Which those particles are fecal particles.
Yeah.
Into your mouth.
Okay. So the Christmas band concert, I'm guessing, has been tabled for now.
Well, it wasn't as big of a hit as they thought it was going to be.
Some extra instruments in the crowd.
Sam?
A story here from CBS News. It is a serious story. A man has pleaded guilty in the killings of a Georgia couple who were lured to their deaths nearly a decade ago, authorities say, after someone magnet fishing in a creek reeled in a rifle.
No way.
Linked to the cold case. Ronnie J. Towns pleaded guilty to the 2015 murders of Bud and June Runyon and was sentenced to life in prison without parole. The conclusion to the case came just months after someone using a magnet to fish in a Georgia creek pulled up a rifle as well as some of the Runyon's belongings in the same area where the couple was found murdered. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation said in April that driver's licenses, credit cards, and other items pulled from Horse Creek were new evidence in the murder case.
We've said on this show before, if we had the manpower and the time to send even volunteer sleuths to all of the creek beds and all of the... This is where they end up finding, like, teenagers who've been missing for 40 years that accidentally drove off the road and the car ended up in a body of water.
Right.
And primarily near bridges.
Yep. Listen to this. Another arrest has been made 55 years after a teenage girl was killed in Nebraska. A 77-year-old man from Oklahoma has been arrested in connection with the 1969 killing of a Nebraska teenager named Mary Kay Heese.
She was 1969.
She was reported missing by her family back in March of 1969. A farmer found her school books early the next morning and took them to authorities. And then later, as they were searching that area, they found her remains. A horrible, horrible case, right? So investigators say they believed Heese tried to run from the suspect, but was chased down and overpowered in a struggle. Case went cold for decades until authorities reopened the case and introduced a tip line. They're not saying exactly what led to the arrest of the 77-year-old man. His name's Joseph Ambrose. But they are saying they have their man. And the tip line was partly what led.
So he was 22 when he allegedly committed this murder. He's been on the run for 55 years.
55 miles west of Omaha is where this happened, and he is awaiting extradition to Nebraska. I have always said, Scott, you can run, but you cannot hide. As long as departments find the source of funding, whether that's grants or something else, and use the technology we now have available, genealogically speaking, I don't think there should be any more unsolves.
Well, I hear you, but they would have to have a reason, would they not, to want to collect? I mean, can you can police just willy-nilly tell 23andMe and Ancestry.com, give us everything you've... I mean, they have to have something to go on,
right? You have to have a piece of DNA from the evidence at the time, preserved. Yes.
And but you can't just run it through every database in America, can you?
Or can you? No, and I think some of those companies play ball with authorities and some of them don't, and I'm sure you have to get a... Like, you have to get some kind of court order.
Right.
Oh, I guarantee you they would sell that in a heartbeat. These companies are
look
not
how many,
in the
look
business
how many cases
of,
have been solved because of it.
Yeah, these companies are not in the business of protecting your data against profit. They're going to take that profit.
And it's not the killer's data they're protecting. It's the data of the great grandma or the aunt or the mom or the cousin that did the 23andMe. And we use that like Kleenex and tissue. When I say 23andMe, I'm meaning all of the genealogical databases.
Yeah. Sam, have you ever done 23andMe?
I have not.
I got an email the other day that I have like 2,300 new cousins I didn't know about, and I have not clicked on it.
Like, wasn't there a data breach with 23andMe?
I don't know. I don't even know if that's the one we did. I don't remember.
We did do 23andMe. Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, it updates and updates and updates, and you start getting like nine removed twice cousins from, you know. So it's thousands and thousands of people.
Oh, no, that's correct. It wasn't a... It was a data breach. Excuse me.
I thought
me.
It was, yeah.
There was a data breach, and then the entire board quit at the same time a week later.
You know what I found out about me in 23andMe, Sam? I'm white.
That's what you found out.
Very, very white.
I found out that my percentage of Native American blood...
It was higher,
wasn't
it? Nope. No, it was lower.
Almost exactly... matched what my Indian card from the Bureau of Indian Affairs states.
What percentage?
Oh my gosh. It's 3/16. I'm almost a quarter, but the percentage is almost identical.
I'll be darned.
Isn't that, that's
Yeah, I remember
something.
That.
So Scott, you paid money for looking in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, but they do break it down to like, it got very specific about where my family was from. And we knew that most of our ancestors were from either Ireland or England. But also found that I had a little bit of German, French, and Italian, I think.
I liked the more obscure, like, the odds are your second toe next to your big toe is shorter than the, you know, it was, there's a lot of weird stuff in there.
There were, and you can also use these to see, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're more likely to get certain diseases and stuff like that later in life.
Has anyone cross-referenced this database?
What do you mean?
Like, do they know that any of what they're being told about their supposed DNA test is real?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have known that Dana is part Native American.
I guess that would be a cross-reference, yeah.
It was very, very accurate.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
Well, I knew that my dad's family was from England and my mom's family was from Ireland. And it had me, they don't differentiate between the two islands, but I was 88% Irish and English. 88%. I remember that. 913-586-7798. Don't forget, if you can and you're willing to donate to Coats for Kids, the link is up on our website, kmbz.com. Sam, I just got to watch you eat that banana off the door.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
That is some talent, my friend.
The video is up on Dana Wright KMBZ on Facebook.
Thank you. Got to get your potassium in.
I've never seen
in.
Anyone eat a door banana before, Sam.
I've never seen that either, and I've never done it before.
I've never seen anybody eat art.
Well, you know.
There goes our $1 million. When does that dumb thing go on the auction block?
I believe it goes on
soon.
Either Friday, maybe? It's expected to fetch $1 to $1.5 million.
You planning to bid, Dana?
So stupid. No.
And you don't even get a banana or duct tape. You don't even get duct tape.
Right. So then whatever you buy it for, you have to go out and spend the $9 on duct tape and whatever it is, 75 cents for the banana.
But, you know, first of all, I don't think that's art. Anything I can do is not art. But so you get to go out and tape bananas to walls and potentially make money off of it. But you're not the guy who came up with the original stupid idea. So who wants to see you tape a banana to a wall?
I mean, that's the actual art world equivalent of, like, the NFTs that were so popular.
Or you know what it is? It's like paint by numbers. We're working on a couple because we're doing – we already finished one for Maya for Christmas, and now we're working on Sarah's. And both of the paintings have meaning for each girl, each daughter. But that's like saying that I'm an artist because I can do paint by numbers.
But – is it possible he is an artist? I mean, he has other works of art. He is an artist. Is it possible he is making a mockery of the entire institution, which in and of itself is a brilliantly artful thought?
Now, if that's the case, kind of like Spaceballs made fun of Star Wars years ago, if that's the point is to call out the absurdity that is modern art.
Yes,
these days.
The name of the piece is Comedian. That's not an accident.
And to show how easily people will part with their hard-earned money to buy what they think is distinctive, unique, modern art, then I think he's onto
something. What I want to see are the videotaped comments from people in the art world walking by the duct tape banana going,
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. Do you see it? I see it now.
Mm-hmm. But how does it make you feel?
Right. I mean, you know there were people walking by. Like, they have photos of people staring at it.
Just staring at it, right.
Just staring. And so, I want to say, like, what do you see? Because I see that the joke is on you.
What energy does it give off?
Right.
See, that's the problem with a lot of art.
Is that a fruit fly?
if you go over to the Nelson Adkins, and they've got that gigantic, beautiful Monet right inside the door. I don't look at that, staring at it, and thinking, what was Monet thinking? I just look at it and think, I couldn't do that.
It's stunning.
What a beautiful picture or painting that he drew. Or, you know, you go up, I think it's on the second floor, and there's all those paintings from, like, I don't know, 600 years ago, and it's usually just a person, somebody of nobility who sat for a painting. I don't look at that and go, wow, what message is the artist trying to send me? I just look at it and think, this is remarkable. This is something I could never do.
I like art that makes you think. I do think there's a message with this.
Yes.
And he's making a mockery. But the message is amplified the second that thing goes on the auction block and some ding-a-ling pays $1.5 million for a banana that no longer exists. That then comes full circle.
To how
absurd.
The
bidder is proving the artist's point.
Yeah.
And that, there is some art there.
Don't forget the dirty tissue sculpture that's down at the Kemper Art Museum here in Kansas City that I'm pretty sure is a multi-million dollar piece.
Gross.
I've never heard of this. What is it?
It's a gigantic recreation of a dirty tissue in sculpture form. Huh. Standing on a pedestal outside of the museum.
Okay.
I also don't think the curling irons on top of Bartle Hall is art.
Oh, yes, it is.
No.
It's whimsical.
You called them curling irons.
Well, that's what they used to call them.
It's hair curlers, and it's whimsical, but that is absolutely art.
And you know what else isn't art?
It makes our skyline more interesting.
I'm going to make you mad with this one. The shuttlecocks are not art.
Oh, they most certainly are.
Could you do that?
I heard Dan boo me out in the newsroom.
Anything whimsical to you is not art. Art can be whimsical.
Could you create the giant shuttlecocks that are on the lawn of the Nelson Atkin Museum?
I don't think the artist got a big ball of steel and started chipping away at it. I think they were just...
That wouldn't be how you make a steel sculpture.
Well, how do you make it? I don't...
You bend the steel.
I could not recreate...
Chip away at it.
...the shuttlecocks, but I can recreate the voice that comes from the heavens when you touch one.
Yes.
Please back away from the shuttlecocks.
I was going to say, it's in English.
It's a British accent, I believe.
It's an English accent, that's right. Back away.
Do not touch the shuttlecocks.
Oh, I've touched them multiple times, but I've never heard that voice.
Oh, you've never heard the voice?
No.
There is surveillance out there, and you will get yelled at.
Wow.
Oh, you must go during the day and just stand out there and stand next to one long enough. They'll start paying attention to you. And I don't know if somebody's inside the building just watching with their finger on the button, just waiting, or if there's some sort of sensory device inside the shuttlecocks.
I have a picture of me from a high school dance leaning up against one in my suit.
Not supposed to do that.
Mm-mm. They don't want you to touch it.
I may ne'er do well.
Story here from the Associated Press, and I probably normally wouldn't read it, but the headline is buried farther down. A dog fatally attacked a woman last evening and bit two police officers in a Boston neighborhood. The Boston Police Department said it responded to a report of a dog attack around 5 o'clock last evening, found a woman with life-threatening injury, sadly, and a man in the Roxbury neighborhood. The woman, whose name was not released, died at a hospital. She was the owner of the dog. They removed three other dogs from the property. We have a Menendez update coming up in just a minute.
Yes, please.
And in an unexpected twist, a divorcing couple found themselves negotiating over who would claim two Taylor Swift tour tickets as part of their settlement. The tickets, which were bought before their separation, became a focal point due to Swift's immense popularity and the skyrocketing value of resale
tickets. Is it an asset? Yes. That is definitely an asset.
With Swift's Canadian tour stop at Toronto's Rogers Centre taking place on Thursday night, tickets were listed on resale platforms like StubHub for up to $13,000 apiece. The stakes made the decision more than just about who would attend the concert. It also had significant financial implications.
It's an asset like everything else, but there's a time limit to that asset. It's not like, how do we divide the Mercedes or how do we divide, you know, your gym membership or the Netflix account? Which, by the way, I got kicked off Netflix last night.
For what?
It knows that I am not in the same location where I once was.
Oh, you've been doing the dance for too long, and they finally put the stop to it, huh?
I am the one who pays the bill.
Do you still pay the bill?
Yes!
What? Did you hear me?
No!
Sam goes, welcome to the boycott.
It wanted my locate. It wanted this, and it says, we're sorry. Your account appears to be outside the... Whatever it says to you. And I'm like, okay,
but
well, my bank account is the one that pays y'all.
Well, so here's what happened. Your children, who are, I'm assuming, the other users
they
of
are.
Said account.
That is accurate.
Set their home as the home location for said account.
Ew.
And now you need to tell them to get off the account so that you can reset the account to your location and they can go get their own account.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can pay for the extra so they can have...
No,
the account
I think I'm shutting
at
it down.
Location.
I'm telling you, we're more of an Apple TV kind of house now. Where I am all over the Apple TV.
Unsubscribe.
Am I going to be the only Netflix account holder on the show?
No, because when I went to search for Gladiator, because you know Russell Crowe and the new Gladiator is coming out Friday, we watched half of it with my daughter who had never seen it. Then I finished the second half last night, even though I've
seen
it.
So she hasn't seen the rest of the movie?
She still hasn't seen the second half. You forget how good that movie was.
No, I don't.
And I searched. I just did a search for Gladiator, and I'm pretty sure it was Netflix that it popped up, and we watched the second half.
Until you didn't.
Yeah, until I didn't. I think we watched the first half, and then they got me.
So you're going to, are you going to get Netflix
I
back
don't
on?
No, I'm going to see my daughter tonight and just say, how are we going to do this? Because we are geographically, everyone is in a different space now. Everyone.
Yeah, and Netflix put a stop to that.
Got one in college here, got one in college there, right. I got one outside. Like, I have children spread out all over.
We're well aware.
So you can't
have that subscription.
You can't have one account now?
You can have one. And then you can take that account, like, let's say you go out of town.
But this is like a family of 20 going to an all-you-can-eat buffet versus Dana going to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You want me to pay the exact same price, and it's just me enjoying it.
No, because Netflix used to be an all-you-can-eat buffet till they changed themselves to a sit-down, order-off-the-menu restaurant.
Mm. I want to go back to boycott. I want to go back to Sweet Tomatoes. I like the buffet.
She's coming to the light
side.
And
of all the people to kick out of the account, the one who pays the bill. I'm like, really?
I'm with Sam, though. That's because one of your kids has set up their location as the primary.
Oh, so when you try to log into Netflix and you're not in the primary location, it says, error. It appears that you're not in the location in which this account is set up.
And you either click,
I'm on vacation, mm-hmm. or you click, this is my home. Ooh. And they clicked, this is my home.
Oh, okay. Well, we will be having a conversation with all of those ne'er-do-wells this evening.
The whole brood of them.
913.
That'd be a Zoom.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. You're on Dana and Parks. Reminder, if you are willing, if you are able, to go to KMBZ.com and make a donation to our Coats for Kids 2024 campaign. It runs through December 13th, and you can go to our website, KMBZ.com. That's one way, or you can text this word, it's one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. And thanks to Pinnacle Bank for always having our back for all these years. California Governor Gavin Newsom will delay his decision on clemency for Lyle and Eric Menendez, who were convicted of murdering their parents in 1989, until the newly elected L.A. County District Attorney completes his review of the case. This is according to Newsom's office. Quoting here from the statement, the governor respects the role of the district attorney in ensuring justice is served and recognizes that voters have entrusted District Attorney-elect Nathan Hochman to carry out this responsibility. The governor will defer to the DA-elect's review and analysis of the Menendez case prior to making any clemency decisions. Okay. That's the latest there. Just more delays. Can you sing along to Wicked show tunes in a movie theater? It depends on who you ask.
Ooh.
The cinematic retelling of the famed Broadway musical has sparked a debate online among diehard fans about whether it's appropriate to belt along with the on-screen cast while at the movies.
Is it a sing-along? Because every few years they bring Grease back with Danny and Sandy, and it's billed as a sing-along.
They want you to sing.
Yes.
Is this in a theater or movie theater?
In a movie theater. Multiple theaters. And yes, I sing along. I know every word to every song.
Oh, God.
But it's a sing-along.
Everybody else singing?
Yes.
Or are you just the only one?
I feel like with Wicked, it's so new. Is it supposed to be a sing-along, or is it just a movie you're supposed to go to enjoy that was a musical?
I have no idea.
I would go with the crowd. I think that's a game time call, Scott.
Moviegoers who spoke to NBC News say they expect excited theater kids to know the etiquette of not singing over the actors during the show. Many said they planned to lip sync, but that they would save the actual singing along for another time.
If it's primarily theater kids, they're going to be singing.
Yeah. Do you know the last time that Grease was here, the musical?
I don't.
It was at the Midland. I took the girls, and one of the actors from the original movie, Grease, one of the T-Birds,
really?
Was there to greet everyone, and we all did a sing-along with him.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it was incredible.
Was he a big actor in the movie?
One of the...
I've never seen Grease. Don't do it. I know what you're going to do. Don't do it. Don't do it. Resist the urge. Resist the urge.
Resist. Shame him. Shame him hard.
She can't resist.
Summer days drifting away to the summer night.
Not quite the movie shaming I was expecting, but
how do you not know every word? You have two daughters.
Yeah, I'm not a good dad.
Now, I will say this. When I was growing up, I didn't understand some of the more mature themes that are in that production.
You mean like some of the quotes from certain songs that we can't play on the radio?
Yes! Oh, my gosh!
Regarding the wonderful vehicle that they were driving in that race.
Yes! Grease lightning! No,
it's a real what machine?
Well, yes. It was a wagon of sorts.
Oh, sorry, wagon. That's right, not machine.
I did not really. I just used to belt all of that out. Well, what he is saying in that song is, and if you play it early enough, you don't hear it.
I'm not going to play it because I don't want to risk it.
The ladies love that car.
Do they know?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that song. I'm going to have to listen to that soundtrack on the way home.
It's a word that some people use when they're talking about a feline animal.
Well, there's also a word for breast in that song. But, you know, at age 10 or 11 when I was singing, I didn't know what he was saying till later. And then I was like,
well, you didn't know what Prince was singing in
Darling Nikki.
Darling Nikki.
No. Belted that one out loud in front of
me. Yeah. It was an awkward laugh, Dan.
Have your girls not ever seen Grease? I'm sure they have.
I don't know. I don't like musical movies.
Will you please just allow me to take them to see Grease? It needs to be done.
Sure.
Okay.
If they're willing, you can't drag them to it. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.